something strange in your neighborhood. Who you gonna call?
Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. As indicated by this intro music, today's program's a special program devoted to Halloween music in different genres. Music Review was underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions.
Who are you gonna call?
Today's trivia questions come to us from the websites thepioneerwoman.com and the History Channel. Question number one, which country is most closely linked to the origins of Halloween? Was it A, the United States, B, Ireland, C, Romania, or D, Brazil? Halloween holiday from which country anyway? And question number two, which song was banned in the UK because the BBC thought the lyrics were, quote-unquote, too morbid? Was it A, Thriller, B, Catch a Falling Star, C, Monster Mash, or D, Livin' La Vida Loca? Banned song by the BBC, which song was that anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the 28th of October. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1984, that Linda Ronstadt made her operatic debut in La Boheme in New York City, New York. 1984, today. And it was 20 years ago today, 2002, that U.S. President George W. Bush signed an act that renamed the Oakwood Postal Station in Los Angeles the Nat King Cole Post Office. 2002, today.
Frankenstein was the first in line, and the Wolfman came up next.
Buck Owens' The Monster's Holiday introduces our country Halloween music. It's entitled Buck Owens Gets Creepy with Monster's Holiday. Owens' 1974 Halloween-themed novelty hit was one of his final top 10 hits before 1988's Streets of Bakersfield with Dwight Yoakam. This is written by Stephen L. Betts, published in RollingStone.com, October 31, 2018. On the morning of October 30th, 1973, one day before Halloween, Buck Owens and his Buckaroos entered Owens' Bakersfield studio to record the song that would serve as the title cut of his next Capitol LP. Although Owens had written and recorded lighthearted songs that had been peppered throughout the nearly 50 albums he had released up to that point, two of the last three top 10 hits he would have were novelty tunes, including the supremely silly It's a Monster's Holiday, a kitschy cross between The Monster Mash and George Jones's The Race Is On. It's far from Owen's finest hour, but certainly worth revisiting on this, the scariest day of the year, other than Election Day, that is. The song peaked at number 6 on Billboard's country chart in mid-September 1974.
I'm breathing down my neck. Jump back, make tracks. Here comes a hunchback. Better get out of his way. Vomit was a monster's holiday.
Taken from the album of the same name, released in 1974, this monster mashup brings a Mount Rushmore of spooky ghouls back to life as they take turns attempting to scare Owens while he tries to sleep. In quick succession, Dr. Frankenstein's monster, Dracula, the Wolfman, and the Hunchback, a.k.a. Quasimodo, all show up, followed by goblins, dragons, and zombies, but Owens vows to fight back. It all ends mercifully in just 2 minutes and 30 seconds with a creepy spoken gotcha. The legendary entertainer died peacefully in his sleep on March the 25th, 2006, at age 76. Manuel de Falla's Love the Sorcerer introduces our classical music Halloween. It's entitled The Program Notes from Elamore Brujo, Mariana Williams Tobias, Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra, 2016. Manuel de Falla was one of Spain's most influential and defining composers. He truly fulfilled Ralph Vaughan Williams' dictum that the composer must love the tunes of his country and they must become an integral part of him. De Falla stuffed his works with the sounds, rhythms, folk songs, and folk-like melodies of Spain. But he cautioned that in this process, you must go really deep so as not to make any caricature. You must go to the natural living sources, study the sounds, the rhythms, use their essence, not their externals. In our dance and our rhythm, we possess the strongest traditions that none can obliterate. We have the ancient modes, which, by virtue of their extraordinary inherent freedom, we can use as inspiration dictates. What he said indicated not only national pride, but conviction in musical authenticity and potential. Elamore Brujo, Love the Sorcerer, is a ballet pantomime in one act based on a story concerned with love, death, exorcism, and release. The story concerns two gypsies, the sensual Candela and the handsome Carmelo. The ghost of Candela's first husband haunts their love affair. Candela, knowing her husband's infidelities, entices her friend Lucia to flirt with the ghost and distract him from her new love affair. Lucia is successful, and Candela and Carmelo proceed to have a fulfilled relationship. Elamore Brujo and the suite derived from the ballet were stunning ambassadors to the world for the best of Spanish musical expression. Freed from the grafting of extensive European influences, its DNA is precisely Spanish. At times fiery, at times soulful, and at times passionate. This music speaks perfectly to its home country and its identity. Thank you. Artie Shaw's Nightmare introduces our jazz and big band Halloween entry. As noted in the 7/18/17 Jazzis.com article, A Short History of Nightmare by Matt Micuccio. Nightmare was composed by bandleader and clarinetist Artie Shaw in 1936 and was released in 1938. Shaw had been told that he would need to have a theme to play at the start and stop of the live radio broadcast. Although many bands would often resort to using a Tin Pan Alley tune as their theme, Shaw decided to write his own. The resulting Nightmare was described by Richard Sudhalter as a keening, almost cantorial melody in A minor. As different musically from the theme songs of his band-leading colleagues, as Shaw was different from them personally and temperamentally. Nightmare would soon become a hit and an influential composition in its own right. Famously, for instance, it probably inspired the vamp of the James Bond theme written by composer John Barry. It also affected a whole generation of jazz listeners. Jazz critic Nate Henthoff remembered that my own introduction to the jazz life began with a record of Artie Shaw's Nightmare. I came from a home where any overt expression of emotion was calculated and measured, lest it roar out of control. Standing in a record store one afternoon, however, I shocked myself by yelling in pleasure at the first bars of Nightmare. Saint Saens' Danse Macabre introduces our music research and technology. The article title is The Unsettling Sound of Tritones, The Devil's Interval. This is published in NPR.org by Judith Kogan on October 31, 2017. Everyone knows the sounds of Halloween. Creaky floorboards, howling winds, the amplified sound of a beating heart. But back in the day, the devil was said to exist in a particular musical tone. For centuries, it was called the devil's interval, or in Latin, diabolus in musica. In music theory, it's called the tritone because it's made of three whole steps. Encyclopedia Britannica adds, tritone in music, the interval encompassed by three consecutive whole steps, as, for example, the distance from F to B, the whole steps F to G, G to A, and A to B. The reason it's unsettling is that it's ambiguous, unresolved, says Gerald Moschel, professor of music at Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut. It wants to go somewhere. It wants to settle either here or there. You don't know where it'll go, but it can't stop where it is. There used to be rules against writing music that contained this interval. Moschel says that during the Renaissance, all music had one purpose, to be beautiful and express the majesty of God. Anything otherwise was studiously avoided. But once music was no longer shackled to the church, it was free to express all kinds of tension. The devil's interval was ideal for that. From classical to jazz to rock and even Broadway musicals, the tritone conveys feelings ranging from forbidden love and longing to fear and defiance. For example, Richard Wagner used the tritone to convey forbidden love and longing in his opera Tristan und Isolde. And Miles Davis' Walken In jazz, people embrace the tritone as a way to challenge the audience in a way they didn't so much do in swing, says Hank Osnatsky, head of contemporary improvisation at New England Conservatory. And Pearl Jam, even flow. In rock, the tritone can be a sound of defiance. It's a gesture that is very confrontational, Netsky says. It really makes people pay attention and sounds a little violent. And then there's this. The tritone makes an appearance in multiple places in Leonard Bernstein's music for West Side Story. Finally, Camille Saint-Saëns' Danse Macabre, symphonic poem in G minor, opus 40. The song playing in the background now, the tritone is used simply to build tension. Michael Jackson's Thriller introduces our rock and pop Halloween entry. It's entitled 10 Things About Michael Jackson's Thriller, 30 plus years after its release. This is written by Lucina Fisher, abcnews.com, on the 28th of November, 2012. 30 plus years ago, at the age of 24, Michael Jackson set out to become the king of pop. With the release of Thriller, it became, and still remains, the best-selling album of all time. Thriller went on to win 8 Grammys in 1984 and sell between 65 and 110 million copies worldwide. Thriller also continued Jackson's collaboration with Quincy Jones. Quincy was considered more of a jazz kind of person. Gail Mitchell, Billboard's R&B senior correspondent, told ABCNews.com. But Michael really pushed it, and out of that came Off the Wall. That was kind of an appetizer. It opened the door to that perfect storm of a relationship. After Thriller, Jackson not only established himself as the king of pop, but he amassed so much wealth that in 1985 he was able to purchase the Beatles catalog of about 250 songs. Thriller also changed music videos. The 14-minute video for the album's title track changed the way we view music videos. It was so epic, Yahoo Music reporter Billy Johnson Jr. told ABCNews.com. We had never seen anything like that. A mini-movie with a horror theme. For it to still be regarded as one of the best music videos, 30-plus years later just shows you how far ahead of the game he was at that time. The video was also one of the first made by a major film director, John Landis, who directed The Blues Brothers, and An American Werewolf in London. Jackson was always chasing the next Thriller. Thriller was both the best and the worst thing that happened to Jackson, according to Brown. The downside of his meteoric success was that he could never top it. It was a noose, really, Brown said. All he kept doing was chasing it, and it proved reckless. His addictions, I think, were really brought on by his never-ending quest to top Thriller. And in local Halloween music news, we have this article entitled, more than just cannibalism, Raleigh Ryder releases CD of Donner Party-inspired songs. This is written by Josh Schaefer, September the 12th, 2022, in the News and Observer. Of all the terrible stories of the world, few can match the dismal, unthinkable suffering borne by the Donner Party. The infamous snowbound settlers reduced to eating oxhide, shoelaces, and finally each other. In 1846, that luckless party of 87 reached the Sierra Nevada Mountains on the last leg of what had already proved a disastrous journey, crossing deserts so dry the children sucked on bullets to generate saliva. But buried in 15 feet of snow, their misery intensified. Overall, the details are considered too ghastly for pop culture portrayal until now. Raleigh writer Alice Osborne has released a CD inspired entirely by the Donner Party's journey, each of its 13 songs narrated by a real-life character. She called her collection Skirts in the Snow, and she hopes to lift the luckless Donners beyond the cannibalism synonymous with their name, highlighting instead their stubborn courage. The cannibalism is what draws people into it, said Osborne, who performed her album in Fuquay Arena recently. The stories make them stay. The hardships, the bad decisions, redemptions. It's a Greek tragedy. Around her neck, Osborne wears a brooch showing a portrait of Georgia Donner, who was five at the time. They're heroes who can inspire us, Osborne said. They can inspire us to help a stranger, especially in these cynical times. It's about trust issues. Do you trust these folks with your children? Do you trust them to come back? Out of the 87 stranded in the Sierras, 48 survived. None of them killed themselves in the aftermath, Osborne notes. William Eddy married a wealthy widow, then a schoolteacher, before fading into quiet obscurity. Louis Kesseberg survived to make a bundle in the gold rush and then open a brewery in Sacramento. He died homeless, but he is still credited with introducing lagers to California. So as Osborne recognizes, the stuff of great art can be sifted from ashes, and the enduring stories of sacrifice can be often found in the scenes that make us look away. Alice Osborne's Skirts in the Snow is available for streaming and download at aliceosborne.hearnow.com. So, how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, which country is most closely linked to Halloween? Is it A, United States, B, Ireland, C, Romania, or D, Brazil? Correct answer, answer B, Ireland. As noted in 31 Fun Halloween Facts to Trick or Treat Everyone this season by Tierney McAfee in the PioneerWoman.com on 10/7/22, in Ireland, where Halloween originated, people celebrate by setting off fireworks. They also eat barnbrack, a traditional fruitcake, and light bonfires to celebrate the holiday, according to Business Insider. Jack-o'-lanterns are believed to have originated in Ireland in the 19th century, but the Irish actually carved turnips instead of pumpkins at that time. The History Channel adds, the origins of Halloween might actually date back 2,000 years to the ancient Celtic festival of Samhain, which was celebrated on October 31, on the eve of their new year. The Celts believed that the dead returned to earth that night, and so they lit bonfires and donned costumes to ward off the ghosts. During the mid-1800s, a flood of Irish immigrants fled from the potato famine to the U.S., bringing the tradition of Halloween with them. According to the History Channel, the name Jack-o'-lantern is rooted in an Irish folktale about a man named Stingy Jack, who fooled the devil and in turn was forced to walk the earth with only a burning coal and a hollowed turnip to light his way. The Irish began to call him Jack of the Lantern, and then just jack-o'-lantern. Finally, the History Channel notes that in the Middle Ages, people began practicing a tradition known as mumming, in which they dressed up as ghosts and demons and went door-to-door performing songs and scenes from plays in exchange for food and drink. This custom is believed to be an antecedent of trick-or-treating. And the answer to our second question, which song was banned in the UK because the BBC thought that the lyrics were, quote-unquote, too morbid, was that A, Thriller, B, Catch a Falling Star, C, Monster Mash, or D, Livin' La Vida Loca? Correct answer. Answer C, Monster Mash. As noted in the 10.7.22 article cited above, the song Monster Mash was briefly banned in the UK. The BBC banned the hit 1962 song from airplay that year because they thought it was too morbid. The perennial Halloween favorite didn't become a quote-unquote graveyard smash in the UK until it was re-released there in 1973. So, let's close out today's program with that banned Halloween song.
For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.
They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Rex's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard.